This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
I really can't stay.
But baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
But baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has
been hoping that you dropping.
So very nice.
I'll hold your hands, they're just like
my
ice.
My mother will start to
beautiful, what's your
and father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to the fireplace.
So really, I'd better
beautiful,
hurry.
Please don't.
Well, maybe just a half a drink.
Put more. Some records on while I pour.
The neighbors might think.
Baby, it's bad out there.
Say, what's in this
no
drink?
No cabs to be had out there.
Wish I knew
your eyes are like starlight
to
now.
Break this spell.
I'll take your hat, your hair looks
I
well.
I ought to say no, no.
Mind if I move in?
At least I'm gonna say that I tried.
What's the sense of hurting my pride?
I really can't stay.
Baby, don't hold out. Baby, it's cold outside.
Hey, it is cold outside. Hey, it's colder than normal outside, at least around Florida. I'm guessing about the mid-50s, Ed. Warmer? Okay.
Now we had an overnight low of 46, and it just barely hit 50 right now.
It's at 50 right now? Oh, okay. Well, it's kind of a pleasant change as far as I'm concerned. That was Dean Martin in his very politically incorrect song these days, Baby, It's Cold Outside. I love it. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with Big Ed Davis. Thank you for being with us on this coolish, or maybe where you are, cold Wednesday, November the 29th. Yeah, we're ending the month of November on a cool note. We got a lot going on. In a few minutes, Mike Gonzalez of the Heritage Foundation will be with us. We are going to talk about how Democrats are losing the support of Hispanics. They're actually bleeding the support of Hispanics, and they seem to know it. We're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. And the Biden administration says Donald Trump is coming for your health care. That's what they say. Is it really true? We will take a look at the charge. Stay tuned for that. And did you hear about this? A young kid outfitted in an Indian headdress and war paint. He was at a Kansas City Chiefs football game over the weekend. He is slandered as being a racist, both against blacks and Native Americans. What? We're going to give you the details on that a little later in the show. And in our ultimate top 10, why not? The top 10 largest Washington lobbying firms in 2023. I know you would want to know that, so stay tuned for that at the end of the show. By the way, Freedom Works is sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Guys, you got to look good for the holidays, and the best place to get your hair done and look real pretty is Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They are open Tuesdays through Saturdays. Call first for your appointment. Great haircut, great price, great ambiance. 727-733-3773. By the way, if you tell them Big Ed sent you, you get a half-hearted smile. So you get a little additional perk. 727-733-3773. Also, Arbor Life Tree Service. I have used them. Anything to do with trees, you got to think first about Arbor Life. Tree enhancement, tree removal, stump grinding, whatever. Call for a free estimate. 727-330-1999. So, I read this story about Hunter Biden saying that he will testify. He wants to testify, as long as he testifies publicly, before the House Oversight Committee on December the 13th. That's about 15 days away. Now, why would he want to publicly testify? You remember about all the things that are going on with he and his father, right? Well, he sent a letter to the House Oversight Committee yesterday, agreeing he would comply with a subpoena that was issued by the committee and its head, James Comer, but he wants the testimony public. Now, the subpoena calls for a closed-door deposition rather than a public hearing. And so this is what Hunter's attorney says about that. This is Abby Lowell. And he writes, "We have seen you use closed-door sessions to manipulate, even distort the facts, and misinform the public. We therefore propose opening the door. If, as you claim, your efforts are important and involve issues that Americans should know about, then let's shine on the proceedings." All right, now, when the lawyer for the guy you're going after tells you he does want to testify and he wants to make it public, what do you start looking around, don't you? You start trying to say, okay, what's going on here, right? What's going on? Well, in a statement that came from the chairman of the committee, James Comer, he said, "Hunter Biden is trying to play by his own rules instead of following the rules required of everybody else. That won't stand with House Republicans." And he adds, "Our lawfully issued subpoenas to Hunter Biden require him to appear for a deposition December the 13th. We expect full cooperation for the deposition, but also agree that Hunter Biden should have opportunity to testify in a public setting at a future date." So he can testify at a future date. Now, Comer subpoenaed Hunter, and Joe Biden, the president's brother, James Biden, also, and Rob Walker. Now, Rob Walker was Hunter Biden's business associate. So they're all supposed to show up. Now, the first thing I was thinking about is, if you go public, there are certain things that you can't bring up because they are classified. And they're not allowed to be brought up in a public hearing. But you could bring it up in a private hearing. So it would seem to me that the actual testimony back and forth would be somewhat limited based on what is classified and what is not. I would love to hear Hunter Biden, as long as everything was open. But I'd also want to hear from his uncle, James Biden. I'd kind of like to hear from Bob Alinsky, his buddy. Remember him? They're gonna ask him to show up at some point.
Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
There's no doubt that I think most of the Democratic Party wants Biden to step down and find a way to get him out. Do you think for the right price that Hunter Biden would throw his father under the bus? give enough evidence to get him out?
Do you think I never thought of that Machiavellian conspiracy.
I mean, it's a bit of a conspiracy theory, but you can deal with a guy who's on crack. Would he, for enough money, just throw out information to make it look like his father is going to have to back out of the race?
I don't think that those that want Joe Biden removed would need to, what's the word, lower themselves to that point. They got other ways of getting rid of Joe Biden.
But what if Biden doesn't want to get out?
Well, I don't think Joe Biden wants to get out. I don't think he does. However, what if the Democrats just allow all of this testimony about what Joe and Hunter were doing, not stand there and try to block it?
Right.
Just keep their mouth shut and allow all of this to occur, hoping that this would help ease out Joe. It's very interesting, all the different ways that this whole thing can go. The Jim Jordan, by the way, he's the head of the House Judiciary Committee. He says he's looking forward to hearing from Biden in the closed-door hearing, and then subsequently hear from him publicly. So we'll see where all of that goes. I think that's very interesting. That's what I would say. All right, let us take our break. And when we come back, Mike Gonzalez is going to join us. The left is bleeding support from Hispanics. They seem to know it. We're going to talk about it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Back on a coolish day in Tampa Bay. Wow, I kind of like it. You know, you don't normally wear long sleeve shirts. We have the owner of the station coming in. She's got this big coat on. You'd think it was about 10 degrees outside. Anyway, we're delighted to be here and delighted to have Mike Gonzalez join us. He is a senior fellow at the Heritage Foundation. He focuses on diversity issues, among other things, and we're going to talk to him about how the Democrats, the left, is losing support, left and right, from Hispanics, and they seem to know it. Mike, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Hey, Paul, it's about 25 degrees here in the nation's capital.
Well, now, I gotta tell you, yeah, go ahead.
I love Tampa Bay.
Love. Now I don't feel so bad. 25 degrees. You know what? You know where I was born, Mike? Not to totally get off. I was born in about the coldest city in North America, Winnipeg.
Oh, yeah.
And so to me, this is a dream come true. We got about 50 degrees maybe right now down here.
we have traveled in opposite directions. My grandfather's cousins made a lot of money in cigars in Tampa Bay in the
1890s. Oh, wow. Yes, this was the hub of a cigar outside of Cuba. Tampa was the place for cigar wrapping and growing. You're right about that. So, Mike, you are into this whole subject all the way in. You, we're talking about how the left is losing, not only losing, but losing drastically, losing Hispanic support. And this is so interesting. And it sort of reared its head a little bit, I guess, with that interview of Donald Trump earlier this month from Univision, was it? The Spanish language network?
Yeah.
All kinds of left-leaning Latino groups got a little ruffled feathers, did they not?
Oh, man, they got into a hissy fit. Their hair was on fire. It was unbelievable. So Univision had an interview with Trump. It did not interrupt Trump. It did not call him a xenophobe. It did not call him names. It did not insult them. And, of course, that was reason for all of them to fly off the handle.
Yeah. I mean, more than 70 Democratic Party groups and some individuals, apparently, cried foul. They signed a big letter. La Raza, I remember La Raza. They've been around for a long time. I guess they now go by Unidos US.
Yeah, they're trying to do that, but I never let them forget. I always call them La Raza,
yes. They're all upset about us. But the reason seems to be that they realize that Hispanics, a lot of Hispanics, I would say that they're waking up, but that's an unfair statement. Hispanics, I think, have always had what I would call good conservative family values. But a lot of them are coming around to the fact that that's kind of what the Republicans represent, right?
Yeah, well, it's sad, but I tell you, Paul, I'm a conservative, as you know, and rather than pat ourselves on the back because what a good job we've done with Hispanics, this really has very, in a way, has very little to do with us, right? I mean, Trump did connect in a personal way, but I think that the left has become so crazy with race and sex that a lot of people of Cuban or Mexican or Puerto Rican descent will say, "Wait, you telling me that my son is a daughter? Gay?
Yes.
No way." And I think it just the left has just turned them off completely.
I think you're exactly right. Things like that. I mean, you know, I cannot get over the fact that the Democratic Party thinks that by opening up the southern border and allowing as many Hispanics as they can, and others too, but basically Hispanics coming in, that somehow they're going to be so indebted to the Democratic Party. Oh, thank you for letting us in. Now we're all going to vote Dem. No, I don't think so. And it's starting to show, especially, I would say, among citizens of Hispanic descent, right?
Yeah, I think the open borders is another issue. You know, I go to the Rio Grande Valley a lot, and these are counties that are like 95% Mexican American, right? And you know, Trump, to his credit, in 2020 was the first Republican to win Zapata County, which is 95% Mexican American. He was the first Republican to win Zapata County in over a century.
Oh my goodness! Wow.
Yeah.
So, you know, people, Hispanics, just like anybody, they understand, frankly, I think they understand common sense, if you want to know the truth, but they seem to be picking up even more now. But it's not, obviously, it's not just Hispanics. The left is hemorrhaging blacks. They're hemorrhaging suburban people, all kinds of groups. Seem to be kind of falling off the tree, and as you say, they seem to understand that. And you mentioned about Trump. Do you think Trump has been the catalyst on all of this?
Well, I think obviously he has been, because he speaks forthrightly. You know, he connects at a good level. I think especially men, Mexican American men, and Cubans, he won by like 75%. So that's there's nothing else to get there. After 75%, that's it. But also we see movement with Puerto Ricans. We see movement with up in the Northeast as well, Dominicans. And I just think that part of it was Trump's personality, but the other thing is that the left has abandoned the worker. It's a working class thing. The left has abandoned the worker.
I think you're right. Yeah, yeah. In fact, Trump has kind of got blue-collar support, does he not?
Right. Yeah, it used to be that Republicans were associated with country clubs and Democrats with the factory floor, and I think that has flipped. And I think neither party has really understood this flip.
Indeed. We're talking with Mike Gonzalez. He is a senior fellow at the Heritage Foundation. He focuses on diversity issues, all kinds of things that have to do with groups, whether they be minorities ethnically or culturally or race-wise. And the fact that Donald Trump has been sort of been the Pied Piper, you might say, kind of leading a lot of these groups over to the Republican Party. Now, Donald Trump himself, it's interesting because I've always looked at Donald Trump as not what I would call a rock-hard conservative. I mean, he tends to spend a lot of money, let's be honest. We can look at the budgets that he had when he was the president, and he's not unwilling to spend money. But he's kind of a populist, blue-collar kind of a guy, and he seems to be registering with all kinds of groups. And you look at the Republican Party itself, and there's nobody close to him right now in the primary. So what do you think, Mike? Is it a done deal for Trump? Is he going to be the candidate? And if so, Is he going to waltz his way into the White House again?
I don't know. You know, that's so tough, Paul, because everybody from Giuliani to you know, the former governor of Wisconsin, his name slips me at the moment. All of them were.
Yes, I know who you're talking about. Walker.
Governor Walker.
Yes.
You know, they were all leading in November of the previous year. So it's very difficult to say. Obviously, you look at the polls, and he's got a very commanding lead. He's got a very commanding lead over Biden as well. A lot of that, obviously, well, it's not just people who really love Trump, but a lot of people see Biden, I think, as associated with weakness. So I don't know. But you don't know. It's so early, Paul. It's really way too early.
Yeah. Let me ask you specifically, as a conservative Hispanic, about the Democrats' philosophy on the open border. The idea being, I would guess, that they think that the more people that come in from the southern border, knowing that the Democrats have been kind of allowing the openness, that they will be grateful and therefore decide to vote Democratic. Is that really what you think the Democrats believe, and is that what seems to be occurring? I mean, what do you think?
I mean, that's one of several things. You know, Democratic Party strategists in the early 2000s were saying that they were envisioning a new demography that was going to catapult the Democratic Party to victory for many, many decades. Now, the people who have done, like Rui Teixeira, who's a really smart guy, who's a Democrat, but is a really smart guy nonetheless, they come back and said, look, we made a mistake. We did not anticipate the Democratic Party was going to go so crazy with race and gender. But I think that's the thing you mentioned is one of several things. Another one is that Trump closed the border and Biden and Harris just wanted to do everything opposite from Trump. So they opened the border. Another one is that borders, the very idea of borders, really offensive. They don't think that borders should exist. And the fourth one is that they look at everything on this oppressed versus oppressor dynamic, which has been so damaging, right? We've seen a lot of college students demonstrate in support of terrorists and gang rapists since the October 7th massacre in Israel, because they consider the terrorists to be the oppressed.
Yeah.
They consider the civilians who were massacred or raped to be the oppressors. So they have supported. So I think a portion of the left, definitely Vice President Harris, looks at all of life through this view, and they may identify the people coming through as victims and as the oppressed. And they're, even though they're definitely not bona fide asylum seekers, they're just coming in because the border's open. And so they have created a huge crisis for themselves. We don't know how many people have come in, but maybe it could be as big as 8 million.
Yeah.
8 million. Several percentages the national population. You know, we have a population of 330 million, so 8 million is a lot.
Yeah, and a lot of people think 12 to 16 million people are in this country one way or the other that should not be, in other words, illegally. I would think...
Well, if you add the ones from the last 2.5 years...
Yes.
...to the pre-existing 11 million population...
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And so you got to realize that among that number of people, there are bad eggs that have come in that you got to worry about. Now, I would think a citizen, a Hispanic U.S. citizen, would resent this just as much as a non-Hispanic. Now, yes, I know that there are, you know, there are cultural ties and everything else, but would they not worry about this? What's going on with the drugs, with the disease, with the you know, the terrorist groups? They would realize it just as much. In fact, they might feel that they would be the first ones that might suffer from it.
I think that's definitely the case in the Rio Grande Valley, which has a very long border with Mexico. That's definitely the case there. I traveled with Border Patrol. The Border Patrol people are by and large Mexican American, you know, so, and they have large families. So a lot of people are seeing, they understand the nature of the problem. They're also seeing people, you know, overtaking, crossing their farms, crossing their streets. The problem is much bigger for people in Texas, in southern Texas, than it is for you or me.
Yeah, I mean, no kidding. I don't know how these people can stand it. I mean, with, you know, living down there and having that assault of people, you know, just pouring in all around them. I just don't know how they can take it. It's unbelievable. And the border agents, God love them. They have to deal with all of this. I just don't understand it. I don't know how any rational Democrat can even, you know, to me, this is, if it's not the biggest issue that's going to turn the tide for Republicans, it's close to being the biggest issue. I think my buddy, my colleague, Ed Davis, has a thought or a question, if you don't mind, Mike.
Sure. Mike, I was just wondering that we've seen all the video of the migrants in line to get into the country through the wall or however. We've seen the lines for them to get on the buses, to get off the buses. I was just wondering, where are the lines of the migrants that are here looking for work?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that last part of your question?
I said, where are the lines of migrants that are in line looking for work?
So we are able to, because they're given phones, you're able to trace them, and they're all over the country. They've gone to Montana to work on chicken farms. They've gone to Washington State. They've gone to Arkansas. They've gone to New England. You know, they're all over the country right now.
I'll say one thing.
So you say they come here and they've already gotten jobs.
Well, they're willing to work is what Mike is saying, right, Mike? They're willing to come here and work. What is the cost? I know you can't come up with the, you know, what is the estimated cost government-wise when all of these people pour in? I've heard upwards of $500 billion. Is that true?
I don't know where it is. It's obviously very expensive. But by the way, we have Americans who are willing to do these jobs if they're offered a proper wage. You know, we have a lot of the working population has decreased. One of the reasons why the unemployment rate is so low is that the denominator has decreased as well. That the people who are willing to go out and do these jobs is very smaller now. I think that if they were given a more palatable, a more attractive wage, they would be into the workforce,
mm-hmm.
and we would have people who are right now staying at home and watching TV and collecting unemployment re-enter. It would be enticed back into the workforce, and that would create a virtuous cycle because they would feel dignity, dignity comes from work. They would, you know, some of these people may then be able to become men who can marry. Families would come back. The picture we have a shortfall in families, which is very worrying if you care about American demography.
All kinds of bad things occur when you allow your border to be as porous as we have the most porous border in the world, I think.
We don't have a border, man. We don't have a border. We don't have a forest border. We don't have a shut border. We don't have a border.
Yeah. You're so right. You are so right. Mike, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so very much. Keep up the good work at the Heritage Foundation.
Great, man. You too. Thanks a lot for everything.
Okay, Mike. Thank you. Mike Gonzalez, Heritage Foundation. All right, going to take our break. And when we come back, the Biden administration says Donald Trump is coming for your health care. Is that really true? We're going to take a look at the charge.
So sexy.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcast Drive in the Overcast Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Back. It's a chilly day in Tampa Bay. I love it. I love it. Hey, I think the Democrats are getting so desperate. Nancy Pelosi, our favorite, by the way, that's just our favorite lady in Congress, along with the governor of North Carolina, Roy Cooper, and campaign allies of Jolton Joe Biden, are calling former President Trump's call to replace Obamacare as an assault. In a conference call yesterday, Pelosi and Cooper discussed Trump's pledge to repeal the Affordable Care Act if he becomes president again. So Pelosi is calling Trump's comment a, quote, dire threat to the health and well-being of America's families. She said, this weekend, the former president reminded us that he is hell-bent on destroying the Affordable Care Act. In doing so, he's making an assault on the financial and health security of America's families. Well, on Truth Social, that's what Trump uses all the time for his comments, he said he was heavily looking at alternatives to Obamacare. He says the cost of Obamacare is out of control, plus it's not good health care. He said, I'm seriously looking at alternatives. I don't blame him. I think he's right. I don't want Obamacare. Obamacare, we talked about this when it occurred. Obamacare was like, it's like sitting on a hillside and watching two trains coming around the bend towards each other, and the two trains don't know they're going to collide. I knew that, we talked about the fact that we knew the costs would go out of control if they brought in Obamacare. It just seemed like people were blind to it. Anyway, that's the latest charge against Donald Trump, among many others. And we've got the jolly, and I hope keeping warm, proprietor of the Barber Pole, Andrew Ceresi with us. Andrew, all kinds of things are going on this week. Not only is Nancy attacking Donald Trump, we've got Ron DeSantis. He's going to be talking tomorrow night for 90 minutes in a debate with Governor Gavin Newsom of California. That'll be interesting. You know, the governors of two of the largest states. And by the way, both of them have Disneyland. Maybe they can argue, a goodly part of that debate can talk about who's doing better for Disneyland. Is it California or Florida? What say you?
I guess the one in California is doing better. Isn't there? Had the guy in the small world dancing nude for the people?
Oh, yes. I'm sure that that's the reason that they're making much money.
And you know, Paul, I think Donald Trump will make health care great again.
And Snow White greets you like this. Come on in, boys and girls.
Listen. Don't make fun of Snow White. I love her new mustache.
Don't mind my 5 o'clock shadow.
Now, you know, goodness. Paul.
Yes, sir.
Paul, you said that Trump liked this. He liked to spend money. And you know what? I tend to agree with you. But you know what the difference with Trump was?
What?
Trump spent it on the American people.
Yeah.
He didn't spend it on anybody else.
No, he certainly didn't spend it on himself. In fact, he wasn't taking a salary.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. He spent the money on him. He didn't send billions. He took money away from people, if you remember all these other countries.
Yes,
and he gave
did.
It to the American people.
Yep, he wanted. Didn't he want that group to spend more money? I can't even think of the name of it now. You know, that owed money for the United Nations.
He was telling them how to put their money in. Man, they haven't paid in years.
That's what I mean. Yeah,
he was just saying Vinny and Angelo ought to collect from them.
You know, I haven't heard a lot from, speaking of Trump, from Donald Trump. He's kind of pulled in his horns a little bit. Is it because of all of these different court cases that are going on? I guess he's going to, has he shown up recently in Iowa?
No, the last thing he showed up, it was that football game Saturday.
Oh, yeah, and he got over in Carolina.
Standing ovation.
He got a standing ovation. How many politicians can go to a football game and not get booed, roundly booed?
Well, but now in all defense, Biden goes there and they chant, let's go, Brandon.
Oh, you're right about that. I forgot.
All I can say is I saw the caption in that video, and all it said was, I wonder if Ron DeSantis and what's her name is watching this?
Gavin Newsom?
Nick and Nikki Haley.
Oh, Nikki Haley. Hey, yes. Speaking about Nikki Haley, I want to get your comment on this, if I might. I'm going to read you a little bit of information that's new. The political wing of the Koch brothers. You know who the Koch brothers are?
Yes, I do. Yep,
the Koch brothers are big-time conservatives spending a lot of money to back certain candidates. They've decided their organization is backing Nikki Haley. Did you know that?
Yes, I did. They took the money away from Ron and gave it to Haley.
So what's going on with that one?
Nothing. They're wasting their money.
But why do you think they're doing that?
Well, because they see Ron is in a slump, and they're thinking because Nikki Haley bumped up a couple points, she's the one who's going to get rid of him.
So
it ain't going to happen.
Were they backing Ron DeSantis before this?
Yes.
And they changed their mind.
From what I understand.
Okay, okay. Well, in front of a standing room only crowd on a chilly late autumn evening, it says here, in New Hampshire, Nikki Haley was making her case. She's, as we know, she was not only the South Carolina governor, she served as ambassador to the UN under Trump. And she was arguing, that she is more electable than Trump. And she said all the polls show that she beats Biden by much more than Donald Trump. And actually, she's right about that. For whatever reason, Nikki Haley seems to be the one Republican that has lead over Joe Biden than the others, including Donald Trump. What say you about that?
Well, Paul, you know she's Indian, right?
She's
part of Kamala Harris, whatever. So I put them in the same category as a woman of color.
No, we're getting our Indians mixed up. Warren's a Native American. Didn't you realize that? Nikki Haley's a real Indian.
Oh, okay. I thought she was a Indian.
No. She is an Indian. Nikki Haley.
But there's an Indian from America.
Well,
Native American.
That's a Native American. That's a Native American Indian. Now you're confusing me.
Now she's from the Hakawi tribes.
Hakawi?
Yeah.
How does that work?
Well, they used to get lost in the woods and say, where the heck are we?
You know, you're a funny guy when you want to be. All right. So now I've lost my train of thought. But so the Koch brothers have decided to endorse Nikki Haley. You have to admit that Nikki Haley has been getting some positive bounces recently.
Paul, listen, the media gives those bounces because they want her there because they know she'll lose.
Really?
They don't, of course.
You think the media thinks that Nikki Haley would lose to Joe Biden?
Yes, come on, the media's all rigged, you know that. They're trying to do a setup here.
All right.
They're trying to do a setup. Listen, the fact of the matter is Trump's probably going to be the nominee. And if he doesn't make it for some odd reason, I mean, they'll do anything to stop him. At this point, they've tried everything. These court cases aren't going to go nowhere. They're making him stronger and stronger. I mean, let's face the facts. I hope his security is as strong as can be.
Yeah.
I know he's got his own security watching the Secret Service, and he's got other security watching his own security.
Let me ask you, just stepping back from all of this, isn't this the most interesting and strangest presidential race that you have ever witnessed in your life?
Paul, what's going to happen this year or in 2024 is going to make history, Paul. It's never happened, yeah. Never will happen. The country is divided like it's never been.
Yeah.
You got riots in the streets. You got kids that don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, Biden said the economics are good. Meanwhile, everybody I talk to in my barbershop says they can't stand what's going on.
Right.
So let's face it. I think the Democrats are dead in the water. However, if things keep going the way they're going, I think I see a lot of trouble. I had a financial analyst in my barber chair this morning. This guy's pretty heavy duty, and he's predicting around April a pretty good recession.
Really?
Yep.
Well, that would be about, 5 months before the election?
Yep.
Or 7 months or something.
And this guy, he's up in the top in one of the companies.
Yeah. That's interesting.
It's not good. It's not good.
Now, the price of gas is coming down a little bit. Although it has nothing to, although I'm sure Biden will want to take credit, but it has nothing to do with him. He still is squelching any kind of real drilling and fossil fuels and all of that. So it's not him. But the cost of gas is coming down a little bit. I think it'll go up again.
Well, Paul, you know, people are tightening up. They're not driving as much as they used.
That's true.
People are staying home. They don't have the money to go out. They don't have the money for the gas. They don't have money for food. It's getting cold out. You got to turn the heat on.
Yeah,
that takes more than the air conditioning down here. You know, the people are hurting, Paul.
They are.
And yet it amazed me. They're talking billions and billions more money being spent on Christmas this year. And do you know? Did you know that at Countryside Mall, they're charging $39.99 to sit down with Santa Claus?
Really?
$40, and it says you cannot take pictures of your own. And
no kidding.
I don't know if the poor kids can sit on Santa Claus.
I think that's terrible.
$39.99. Are you kidding me?
That's going to ruin Ed's day. He loves to go and sit on Santa's nap, but lap.
Yeah,
Santa takes a nap when he sits on his lap, but still, he wants to sit on his lap, don't you, Ed?
Yeah.
Did we? Okay.
Say, Ed, for $40, that is going to another kind of dancing.
I sit on Mrs. Claus's lap.
I'd rather sit
That's
on her
right.
lap,
yeah.
too.
Did we bring up the National Christmas Tree?
Oh, my God. I forgot about that, Paul.
You know, why are you making a big deal out of this? I think it's refreshing the fact that the trees are falling down and Biden is standing up.
Hey,
that's true. You know, that's an interesting dichotomy.
You know, I don't want to say nothing, but I was watching the video of it this morning, and I got to give this guy credit, because if he's the one that did it, I think it's the greatest thing in the world. I saw a truck taking off in the back, and I caught the last thing that said light tree service was the last words I saw.
Do you think he had something to do with that tree toppling?
If he does, man, he's my hero. And I caught that truck pulling away at the end, buddy.
Well, they said they've always planted them. They don't put them in a stand. I don't know where you can't go. I mean, you can't run down to Walmart and get a big tree
that
stand.
That wind must have been pretty strong.
They said it was 40 miles an hour.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Well,
and there were guy wires on it, too.
It was probably standing in front of Biden when he started blowing hot air, and the wind was so powerful it blew it over.
I think you may be right about that. Andrew, it's always a pleasure, my friend, and I look forward to talking with you hopefully on Friday.
You got it, guys. Have a good day.
And the same to you. Stay warm. All right. Here you go. All right, let's take our break. And when we come back, a young kid, he's outfitted at a Kansas City Chiefs football game. He's wearing, you know, an Indian headdress. He's got war paint on. He has been slandered. He has been slandered as a racist. We're going to give you the details.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Sounds like they had a little too much Christmas cheer there. But I like that. It is good. Hey, we're back. Thanks for listening. By the way, Freedom Works comes to you Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Great Tantalk Radio Network. And we always appreciate it when you find time to listen to us. But if you're busy, and we know you are during the holidays, thanks to Big Ed, you can listen to the show anytime because he puts all our shows on a podcast. So you can go to our website and click on the podcast button, and there they are. And you'll know when you look at the different shows, the most recent show will be at the top. You'll see who the guest is and the topic that we have with the guest. You'll also see what the top 10 is. So just go to OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on the podcast button at the top, and away you go. Ed, did you hear about this kid at this football game?
Yep.
There's an internet site, I've never heard of it, it's called Deadspin, and they published an article that slandered the kid because he was dressed in red and black war paint, and he had donned an Indian headdress. He was a fan at a Kansas City Chiefs football game, a kid. He was like 9 or 10 years old. Yeah. Okay. The article was titled, "The NFL Needs to Speak Out Against the Kansas City Chiefs Fan in Blackface Native Headdress." So, on the website, they have a picture of the kid, and they only have a profile, and on that profile, you see him in black paint.
Yeah.
Turns out, he had black on half his face and red on the other half. He was just dressing as a fan in a headdress, rooting for the Chiefs, which is an Indian mascot. Right. It was really cheap.
Where are these people where are these people when the Palestinian people are burning American flags? Where are they?
Yeah.
And here's, I got another one for you because it falls right. I don't know if you watched Fox's pregame right before the first game, whatever the first game was. Terry Bradshaw, they had them all outside, and some woman was cooking for them, and they gave him like a hot toddy or something nice because it was cold. And Terry Bradshaw, you know, right before they went to break, leaned over and kissed her on the cheek because she gave him the toddy. He goes, "Oh, that's wonderful." And he kissed her on the cheek. Guess what? The Me Too movement came out and said, "That is totally inappropriate."
Really?
Oh, yes. And she fired back because she fired back with, "Terry and I have been friends for a very long time. There is nothing to it."
Of course.
In other words, mind your own business.
Of course. It's just unbelievable. So this guy, Karen J. Phillips, is the author of the article. And he said he condemned the boy who he claimed, quote, "hates black people and Native Americans." This was so...
That's ridiculous.
It was so ridiculous. It's almost comical.
They're saying the kid hates black people?
Yes, he said so.
They interviewed him, right?
He wrote it, and he wrote it in his article.
No, I'm saying they got that from the kid, right?
No, they got it from the author of the article.
But I'm saying he's quoting the kid, or what is he doing?
No.
It's his opinion.
That's his opinion. The author of the article, Karen Phillips, called on the NFL to condemn the boy who Phillips, that's the author, claims, quote, "hates black people and Native Americans."
And where does she get that from?
He.
Because
he's an idiot. That's why where he got it from. But they also ignored in the picture the full image of the kid, confirming he was not wearing blackface, but instead black and red face paint. Elon Musk even chimed in on it. He said, "Karen Phillips is an unapologetic racist and a deceiver." He said Phillips is one of the most irresponsible journalists on the internet. A year ago, apparently, Phillips accused white people of exuding white supremacy for watching the NBA while black people were murdered. How's that one?
Yeah.
How do you connect those two?
Those are people trying to sell magazines. For crying out loud.
Can you imagine? He smeared a group of kids at the Little League World Series once as racists for a good-natured celebration among teammates. This guy is... There's something wrong with this guy.
Absolutely.
There's something wrong with him. Last week, he accused the Tennessee Titans quarterback, that's Ryan Tannehill, of mistreating black teammates without any evidence of mistreating black teammates.
Just throw it against the wall.
Just throwing it up against the wall. So, so now we know what this guy is like. I don't even see how he's going to keep his job after all of this. But the kids should sue him.
I would too.
No,
yeah.
I mean it.
Yeah,
I'm just seriously. He has a case. He has a case.
Yeah.
And he would not lose. So there you go. All right. Thank you very much. We're going to go right to our top 10, Ed, because I've been talking too much. And this is the top 10 largest Washington lobbying firms in 2023. I know you're very interested in this one. By the way, they call it K Street. K Street is where all these lobbying firms habitate in D.C. And these K Street firms are raking in the most from contracts with companies, trade groups, labor unions, and other organizations. So here we go. First of all, it's a tie, so we're going to say number nine. The first one is Forbes Tate Partners. They raked in $18,440,000 in 2023, apparently, so far or in the past year. And here is the other, number nine. Raking in the same amount of money is a company called Crossroads Strategies. Mm. All right. So now, number eight, Capital Council. I love these names, by the way. Capital Council. $18,910,000 total income. All right. Number seven, Thorn Run Partners. $20,780,000. Number six, Invariant LLC. That sounds like one of Hunter Biden's corporations, doesn't it? Maybe it is. It's also maybe a lobbying company. $20,260,000. Number five, Cornerstone Government Affairs. That's a good one. I love the name. $30,379,500. Number four, the BGR Group, $30,990,000. Okay, number three, Holland and Knight, $35 million even.
Mm.
Pretty good. Number two, Akin Gump et al. Is that Forrest Gump? $40,510,000 total income. And number one, Brownstein Hyatt et al. Et al. Good old al. $46,450,000 in total income. So there you go. All right, everybody. Keep warm. I know it's cold out there. But hey, it's Christmas time. We'll be back on Friday. Remember, freedom works.